turn to Book of 1 John. The Book of 1 John, we find ourselves in the final chapter of this book. One of the main things that I wanted us to learn as we studied through this book of 1 John was that of standing in state, position and performance. That our, if we're saved, our standing with God does not change, but our state sometimes, our fellowship, our actions do. That our position in Christ does not change, but sometimes our performance is not what it should be. I feel that if we understand that, it will help us in our lives as we live every day. We will probably, before this book is over, there are some other truths related to that that I want to look at, and we will probably do that before this book is over. So, this morning we come to a passage here that talks about a few different things, and I want to look at love and obedience. Love and obedience. Chapter 5 and verse 1 through 5 says this: Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of God. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Dear Lord, one more time we come to you and ask that you'd help us to understand this passage and just work on us today and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love and obedience. We read here about if we love. In verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. Well, why do we keep His commandments? Why do we do the things that God wants us to do? Why do we stop doing certain things and try to do other things? Why is that? Is it just because we're trying to conform to something? I hope not. Is it because we're trying to conform to our church and the people around us? I hope not. I hope that we are an example to one another, an encouragement to one another to do right. But I hope we're not making changes in our lives just because of so-and-so. I hope that whenever we make changes in our lives, it's biblical because we are saved and we love God and we want to please Him. It's very easy to get off track nowadays. It's very easy to fall into a pattern like the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation and to do things because they need to be done or they're good things to do. But Christ told the church at Ephesus that they were doing all these wonderful things, but they left their first love. So they were doing these things out of duty. They were doing them because they were good. They were doing them because they needed to be done. And Christ was pleased with that. But he said, I have somewhat against thee. The problem that he had with them was, you're not doing it because you love me. You're not doing it out of love. You're not doing it out of sincerity like you used to. You've lost that first love. They didn't lose their salvation, but they had left. It says specifically they had left their first love. God doesn't leave us, but at times in our lives, sometimes we turn our back and close the door and don't listen. And He's still our Savior and we're still saved, but we're not listening. And we're just not loving Him like we should. And we're not doing the things that we need to be doing for the right reasons. So why is it, like I said, it's easy to fall into patterns and habits and do things out of that. Sometimes we have to step back. I'd have to do this a lot. We have to step back and we have to remind ourselves why we are doing what we're doing. And if your answer is because Jesus Christ saved me, I'm going to heaven now, I'm not going to hell, and I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful, I just want to live for Him and be obedient and do what He wants me to do, you've got the right answer. But if it's, well, you know, this is just what I've always done, or this is just, you know, I'm a Christian, that's what Christians do, you've got the wrong answer. And so our desire ought to be, look how good he's been to me. Why wouldn't I tell other people how to be saved? Why wouldn't I be a good husband or a good father? Why wouldn't I try to be who he wants me to be? And it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love him and keep his commandments. I think all of us have had times in our lives when we were unwillingly obedient. Times whenever we did things that needed to be done and we didn't want to do them. Something just needed to be done and we did it. We did what we were supposed to do, but we either didn't want to do it or we didn't want to do it for the person that we did it for. Sometimes it's the task. I don't really want to do that, but it needs done. Mothers know about this whenever their kids get sick, don't they? Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I hope my kids get sick and I have to clean it up all day. I hope that my kids have the flu and can't hold anything down and I get to play nurse all day. No mother looks forward to that. And the reason I'm saying mothers is because dads, we just don't do it. Unless mom's sick. And then we have to do it. We try to let, whether ladies are made to do that or not, we don't know, but we convince ourselves that you are and you're better at it and you should just take care of it, okay? Why do you do that? It needs to be done. You do it because you love your family and because it needs to be done. Somebody's got to do it. There are things that just need to be done. Maybe it wasn't so much the task. Maybe it wasn't that you didn't want to do that thing that, Maybe it wasn't the task. Maybe it wasn't that you didn't want to do that, but you had a problem with the person that asked you to do it. Okay? Maybe it's a boss. Maybe you just, no matter how hard you try, have a hard time with that guy that you work for. But you do what you're told because it's what you're told to do. That's what you're supposed to do. But you're not real crazy about the person that asked you to do it. Maybe you've got a manager, somebody that's been placed over you. Maybe you've been there 20 years. And this young whippersnapper comes out of college with a degree and now has been there a year and now they're your boss or in charge of you. Some people have a problem with that. Well, I've been here all this time and this kid that just came here, boss's great nephew now is telling me what to do. Boy, people have a problem with that sometimes. They don't want to do what they're told to do. Maybe you have a teacher. You know, I remember when I was in school that there were teachers that I really liked. Had teachers that I really liked and wanted to please them, wanted them to be happy with me. And then there were teachers that I just could not stand. I mean, we just butted heads all the time. And I know as much as I enjoy music and play music and sing music and everything, I butted heads with that elementary music school teacher more than any teacher that I ever had. I mean, we were always into it. I just did not like that woman. And anyhow, sometimes there are people that we don't really, we do what we're supposed to do when they ask us to, but we're not real crazy about it because of who it is. Sometimes children don't like to do what they are told to do by their parents because they are disrespectful to their parents or don't get along with their parents or have some, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's bad parents. Come on, people do have bad parents, okay? Maybe it's bad parents. Maybe it's good parents, bad kids. Maybe it's rebellion. Maybe it's whatever. But we understand that there are times we got to do something because it needs to be done, even though we might not want to do it or we might not want to do it for the person that we're doing it for. That's life. It's like that sometimes. But we have a duty and a responsibility. The problem is that people let that spill over into Christianity. Spill over into Christianity. And the life of a Christian is not supposed to be like that at all. When we serve God and we do what God has called us to do, there are a couple of things that need to be pointed out. For one, we've looked at this here recently. His love is a willing love. He went to the cross willingly, didn't have to, but he did. Saved us from hell willingly, didn't have to, but he did. Why would we be unwilling when it comes to serving Him after all that He's done for us? The second thing that we need to look at is the fact that in verse 2 there, it says, and we won't spend a lot of time there on verse 1, that's just reiterating what we've read in the previous chapters about loving the brethren. But in verse 2, we keep His commandments. Now look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You know, one reason that we should willingly obey God is because He's our Father. Look what He has done for us. How could I not serve Him? How could I not do what He wants me to do? It doesn't mean that every day I am perfect at that. But do you have this desire, this willing desire? I want to please God. Are you in the rut of performance, or is your desire, I love my Father, He saved me, I want to please Him? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. If you're not pleased with the answer, something needs to change. But it says here, here's another reason why we should serve Him willingly, but here's another reason why we are obedient to Him. And one thing we have to keep in mind, it says, and His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. You ever hear people complain about what God wants them to do? I've heard people complain. I've heard a good many evangelists in my life. And there is a theme, not among all evangelists, but there is a theme among many evangelists, and maybe they say it because they've heard other evangelists say it. Maybe they say it because they think it's spiritual. I don't know what it is, but I've heard this theme among evangelists, and it goes something like this. Well, you know, when I got saved, I was working at this company, and I was making this much money, and I was doing really well. And then, they say something like, and I gave all that up for God. He called me into the ministry. Here's what some of them say. I fought it. He wanted me to preach, and I said no, and I fought it. And, you know, God's got a way of making you. That's not Bible. Bible is about humbleness and willingness. Be disobedient, and you'll be miserable. Be disobedient to God, and He'll work on you, okay? God's not going to make you do anything. He'll leave that choice up to you. He'll turn the fire up, but He'll leave that choice up to you. And then they say, as I already alluded to, they say, well, I gave all this up. They act like they've made such a great sacrifice. You didn't give anything up. You didn't give anything up for Christ. Like you made some kind of great sacrifice. He's the one that made the great sacrifice. He's the one that left heaven. He's the one that died on a cross, completely innocent of every crime, for a world full of people who were guilty and ought to burn in hell, knowing that the majority of them weren't going to trust Him for salvation, even after He did what He did for them, and that a minority, a small number, were actually going to put their faith and trust in Him. How dare some preacher stand up and talk about everything he gave up for God? You didn't give up anything. And by the way, everything that you supposedly had, God gave it to you in the first place. The Bible in the book of James says every good gift, every good and perfect gift is from above. Because, well, I gave this. You didn't give up anything. You didn't give up a thing. But the problem with that attitude is they make it sound like they made such a sacrifice to serve God. How is it a sacrifice to serve the one that saved you from eternal damnation in hell? How is it a sacrifice to live for the one whose commandments are not grievous? That does not mean that it is easy being a Christian. The Bible tells us that if we live godly, we will suffer persecution. The Bible says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. It's rough, okay? Life as a Christian is rough because we don't belong in this world, because this is not our home, because we are living for someone who has called us out Come out from among them and be ye separate. Quit doing what they're doing. We are the outsiders. We are the outcast. And so life as a Christian in a sinful world is hard sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's difficult for us to obey because of our flesh. That doesn't make what God told us to do grievous. It's our flesh that has a problem with it. You ever ask, those of you that have kids, you ever ask your kids to do something so simple? So simple. And they just complain and complain and complain. I was listening to a comedian, and he was, I really enjoy humor and jokes and comedy and everything. And I was listening to this comedian. If you've never heard a man by the name of Jeff Allen, go look up Jeff Allen, because he's a Christian, and boy, he's just so funny, and he has these hilarious insights. But he was talking about kids, and he said, "Why is it that your kids will work harder for other people than they will for you?" And maybe some of you, your kids aren't old enough to be there yet, but Devin has this grin on his face right now, which makes me think that Devin's dad has had this talk with him. But he said, "Why is it that your children will work harder for somebody else than they will for you? The neighbor calls and said, 'Your kids are digging me a swimming pool in my backyard with a spoon. They're great. They're wonderful.' And then they come home and you say, 'Hey, wash that dish and put it away.' 'Oh, what? When does it ever end? What's going on?'" And he's going on and on and on and on. You know that sometimes Christians are like that. Sometimes we don't have a problem doing what the boss says. We don't have a problem doing something to please the neighbor or to please somebody else. But it comes to our Heavenly Father, and we act like it's such a burden to open up His Word at least once a day and read from it. Spend some time talking to Him in prayer. Spend some time telling somebody else how to be saved. We do all these things that don't matter, but then we act like God's commandments are so grievous. No, your flesh doesn't want to do them, but what you're told to do is not grievous. What I was going to say about kids is they go on and on and on sometimes about the simplest things, and they spend an hour complaining about cleaning their bedroom, which could have been cleaned in 15 minutes. Now those of you with smaller kids are nodding your head. You already know about that. And they whine, and you know, Clayson's thing is getting ready for bed. I said, go do what you need to do in the bathroom, get your pajamas on and everything. He doesn't do it so much anymore. He's getting better now, but he would just complain and complain and complain. And they don't get it when they're little, but you tell them, you know, you could have been done by now. Just going to take you even longer. Why do Christians act that way when it comes to what God has told us to do? Why do Christians act like that? Why is it that Christians, we're willing to do so many other things, but then when it comes to what God tells us to do, we act like it's such a problem. It's such a strain. You know, the Bible says right here, His commandments are not grievous. What He's asked us to do. That word grievous means afflictive, painful, hard to be born. Does that sound like anything God's ever asked you to do? You know why certain things are hard and we struggle with certain things? Because of the flesh. It's because of the flesh. But what God has asked you to do in and of itself is not difficult. We have a hard time with it because of our flesh. We have a hard time with it because of our own obedience or lack thereof. Go to John chapter 13 with me. The book of John chapter 13. And find verse 34. Okay, we're reading about loving the brethren, and look what it says in 34. "A new commandment I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Is that so hard? What's the definition of grievous? Afflictive. Let me read it again. Afflictive, painful, hard to be borne. Is it really so hard to love other Christians? Is it really that difficult? No, but some of them do things that... Yeah, so does your earthly brother. I have siblings. And my siblings... I have one sibling now, but... You know, my siblings... were always doing things that... Either it was to hurt me or to upset me, or maybe it wasn't toward me, but I just didn't like it, disagree with it, whatever. You know what never stopped? That's my brother, and I love him. Now, I've had some... My brother that's already gone now, boy, he and I had some doozies. Fights, and not fist fights. They were 6 and 7 years older than me. But arguments and things like that after we were adults. Well, we had some bad ones. Mad at each other. I never stopped loving my brother. He was my brother. You've got family today. Maybe some of you have family that you haven't spoken to in a long time because of their lifestyle, or it's just not possible to be around them because of the way that they're living. Have you stopped loving them? Have you stopped caring about them? Well, I hope not. Is it really that hard to love the brethren? Is it hard to get along with them all the time? Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to get along with them sometimes, but it's not that hard to love them. And loving them makes it easier to get along with them. Go to chapter 15 while we're there in John. Pardon me. Verse 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, meaning in the same way that God has loved us. Uh-oh. Am I loving the brethren? Am I loving them the way God has loved me? Am I patient? Am I long-suffering? Am I unselfish? Am I giving of myself? Do I give and love them just because they're the brethren and not because I want something in return? That's how God has loved us. Look at verse 17. He says it again. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You think God's serious about this matter of loving one another? Okay, 1 John tells us his commandments are not grievous. You agree with that? I do. Because I don't think that he's really asking that much for us to love each other. To love the brethren. To love family. You know, a mother gives birth to a child. Does she have to learn over the years how to love that child? No, you moms know that you loved that child before that child was ever born. You didn't know if that child was going to be a boy or a girl, if there was going to be one, two, or three of them. You loved that child before that child was ever born. That's why when you went and they do the little ultrasound and you got to see that baby, it just... Moms and dads were the same way. You love that baby before it's even here. You don't have to learn how to love. You don't have to force yourself how to love that baby. No, you just love that baby because it's your baby. Why don't we love the brethren because they're the brethren? Okay? Why don't we love the brethren because they're the brethren? Yeah, but Pastor, they've done so many things. Yeah, and children hurt their parents sometimes, and sometimes parents are bad parents, but we keep loving because we're family. Why don't we love the brethren for the reason? Simply because they are the brethren. Go to Matthew chapter 11. And you know this verse. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is an instrument that you put around an animal's neck so that they can pull a wagon or pull a plow or something like that. And you can put two animals in a yoke together. And by putting the two animals in a yoke together, it keeps them, when they're yoked up, it keeps them from straying one from another. They kind of have to go the same way or they're not going anywhere. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's life before salvation, you know. That's what life in the world is like. A lot of labor, heavy laden, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of trials. Well, we still have trials, but look what he says. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Look what he says in verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not grievous. But it's hard to be a Christian because you're trying to be a Christian in a fallen world. Because you've got a flesh that doesn't want to be a Christian. But what God has asked us to do is not that hard. Might be hard because our flesh doesn't want to do it. Might be hard because the world around us and everything. But when you get to the fact of what He's asking you to do, you think about it like this. Those of you that have worked with children or still working with children, and I used to work in the schools, you'd sit down and you would read with kids. And they used to have these little books, these little readers. And they were, and I'm sure every school still has them. And they're in these boxes and they're just little paperback books and they're broken into grade levels. And then in the grade level, then they get harder and everything. And you're sitting there with a second grader, first, second grader, and you've got this book that each page has about three or four words on it. And they're all one syllable words. And they're having trouble with it. Well, it's because of them. Okay? It's because they're still learning. It's because they don't know how to do it yet. Is it because the book is difficult? No. What's difficult about See, Spot, Run? Do they still use See, Spot, Run anymore? Dick and Jane books and stuff, you know. See, Spot, that's what it used to be, I guess. But some of them might still have them. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But what's so difficult about that? You know, she sat down. You say, boy, that's simple. And because they're still learning. But the book's simple, isn't it? When something is difficult for us, it's because of us. It's not because what God has asked us to do is all that difficult, okay? It says His commandments are not grievous. It says that His yoke right here, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're the ones that make a big deal out of it. We're the ones that make it harder than what it has to be. The Christian life, it might not be easy. And in the Word of God, it's referred to as a battle. But what God asks of us, love Him and love the brethren, that's not that difficult, is it? It's not that difficult at all. Go back to 1 John. 'Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. What's He told Christians to do? Love me, love other people, love the brethren. Oh, that's so hard. That's so difficult. I don't know if I can do it. No, it's not that hard. You have a hard time because of your flesh, because of the world that you live in. What I'm getting at this morning is this. The instructions, the commandments themselves, they're not hard. We have a hard time with them because we have a flesh and we live in fallen humanity. We live in fallen humanity. I want to point Actually, I'm not. I'm going to shock every one of you, and we're going to be done this morning. I'm going to tell you why. Boy, this is odd. I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. I'm going to tell you why we're going to be done. Because what I was going to preach this morning, I was kind of thinking that it all would flow together very well. And as I look at the next, for one, I won't be able to preach everything that I was going to preach this morning anyhow. So I'm going to have to find a stopping point and pick up again tonight, no matter what I do, even if I went on. And so the best stopping point is right here. It makes more sense to stop here and then pick up the next couple of verses this evening rather than go on and then stop later on. So I was going to have to stop anyhow, and it's best to stop here. And this next section of thoughts, this next thing that we're going to look at here is kind of a thought all its own, and it's just a little bit separate from what we've looked at this morning, so this would be a good place to stop. So for the first time in 2 years, you'll be the first in line at Cracker Barrel. You're welcome. You know what? My birthday is this week. This is my gift to you for my birthday. Okay? But anyhow, what have we looked at this morning? Willing obedience. Willing obedience to God. Why? Why not? And what's He asking us to do? Love Him and love each other. Is it really all that hard? No, the Bible says that it's not grievous. It's not that hard. Why, Pastor, do I have such a problem? Because we make it harder than what it is. Because we have a flesh that doesn't want to do it. We live in a world that doesn't want us to do it. That's what makes it hard. But what He's asking us to do is not that hard. Let's get the flesh out of the way. Let's crucify that flesh. Let's ignore that flesh. And let's ignore that world that tells us not to do what God's telling us to do. And let's live for Him, because what He's asking us to do is not that difficult. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for what You have taught us in Your Word. And dear God, we pray that You would be with us all day today, that You'd help us to meditate upon these thoughts and on these truths that You've given us. Help us, Lord, to serve You willingly. Because of what You've done for us, help us to love the brethren because You died for all of us. And if we love You, then we ought love one another. And as we saw in Your Word this morning, help us to love one another the way that You have loved us. And there's so much there, but I pray You'd help us to meditate upon that and be changed by that this week. Dear God, I do pray that if there's anybody here that has not become a part of that family, if they have not put their faith and trust in Your Son alone for the forgiveness of their sins and the salvation of their soul, today would be the day that they would do that and enter into this family. Lord, we leave everything in Your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.